Few topics get citizens as steamed as the prices of drugs. That's why so many people turn to generics the moment they're approved by the FDA. In fact, the FDA has a special streamlined process for approving generics. Trouble is, the public announcements of FDA's decision often get bottled up. My next guest says that irritates and frustrates everyone, drug companies, investors, federal judges, and the public. Joining me in studio, attorney Kurt Karst, a director at Hyman, Phelps, and McNamara. Kurt, good to have you in.
Thank you very much.
Tell us the problem with FDA. Is it the way they go about approving generics, or is it the way they go about announcing their decisions on approvals?
Well, it's a little bit of both, but primarily in how the agency makes announcements for certain generic drug approvals. I mean, by and large, I mean, FDA approves generic drugs every single day. And most of those generic approvals are without any controversy whatsoever. But in certain high-profile cases, particularly brand-name drugs that bring in, you know, billions of dollars a year, FDA's process for announcing generic drug approvals has become a little bit more complicated probably than it should be.
Well, how should they announce it? Don't they simply, isn't it like rulemaking? We're going to announce it on this date, and here's, and then everyone knows and waits for it?
Well, in a sense, it is like that. What happens in some of these high-profile cases is there's a controversy that's created sometimes between a brand and a generic, sometimes between a generic and another generic company, and oftentimes these disputes revolve around a period of exclusivity. Brand name drugs are subject to certain periods of exclusivity that prevent FDA from approving generic versions of those products.
Even after their patents run out?
Even after their patents run out. I mean, sometimes patents actually expire before any type of statutory market exclusivity is provided under the statute. And what ends up occurring in these cases is that brand name companies, and again, sometimes generic drug companies, they write to FDA, maybe in citizen petitions or in other type of correspondence to the agency, requesting that the agency take or refrain from taking certain actions. In this case, don't approve a generic drug until X, Y, or Z occurs. And these types of requests, again, whether in citizen petitions or in letter correspondence to FDA, end up creating this bottleneck for generic drug approvals in many cases, where FDA has to take time to consider the issues and then comes to a decision, but actually doesn't publish that decision until the last possible moment. Again, even though FDA may have internally decided how they're going to resolve an issue. And that, of course, gets companies nervous, particularly, you know, brand name companies that are anticipating that a generic will be approved by FDA in a short period of time. They end up preemptively suing FDA in federal court, seeking to stay any of those generic drug approvals. And that process...
So that gums up the works even more.
Exactly. It gums up the works even more. That process ends up not only delaying FDA, but courts, of course, have to... Courts and lawyers and companies have to engage in this fire drill process that delays the generic drug approvals.
What is the difficulty in approving generics in the first place? Because a drug is a chemical compound and a factory. In fact, sometimes they're made by the original inventor of the drug under a generic label. So either the chemical compound comes out of the process or not. What's so hard about it?
Good question. It's not really the manufacturer that tends to be the difficulty for most products. I mean, as you mentioned, these are small molecule products, easily copied by generic drug companies. They submit certain data and information to FDA. And again, that's the typical process for these generic drug approvals. Most generic drug approvals can occur rather in a timely fashion. It's when other issues outside of the manufacturer of these products comes into play. And again, it tends to be around these issues of marketing exclusivity and how that exclusivity serves to prevent or not prevent that generic from getting approved.
So the market exclusivity is kind of like a patent extension in terms of the effect on sales.
Yeah, and in a sense like that. It is something actually separate from the patent. Some might say it's actually a more secure type of monopoly because it is a statutorily granted period during which FDA, again, won't take action on a generic in certain circumstances.
We're speaking with Kurt Karst. He's a director at the law firm Hyman, Phelps, and McNamara, and author of a blog on FDA and its processes. In your blog, you're saying that FDA, if it's citing this statutory period of exclusivity as an impediment to making the announcement, why the heck don't they go to the Hill and say, change this?
Well, usually it's the brands that end up citing the exclusivity. It's FDA's difficulties in dealing with how to handle those exclusivity disputes that come up that end up causing these delays. And again, these preemptive lawsuits and fire drills in court. FDA has its own processes, and it is an agency that says we make the decisions when we make the decisions. I don't think that the agency really believes it needs any type of a legislative fix to address these issues. And in fact, I think FDA does have already the inherent authority to address these issues and delays. The agency does not have to wait till the absolute last second to make a decision. In fact, in many instances, I presume FDA has already made a decision. They just haven't yet made it public because of the judicial machinations and having to respond to various letters and correspondence from companies. So they've probably made up their mind. They can decide to decide these types of exclusivity issues before making any type of an approval decision, which would avoid, in many cases, these fire drills that you have in court.
We do have a presidential transition occurring, and that means there's going to be a new FDA administrator, commissioner. And so what would you recommend as a change in process for FDA that could be effectuated by a new commissioner to clear this logjam and bring more certainty to all the parties?
Well, and we'll see if we do end up having a new commissioner. FDA doesn't, I don't think, need any additional legislative authority to address these issues. So a new commissioner, the current commissioner, can simply mandate and have the agency put into process these processes to address early on these exclusivity disputes.
So that means that they would have a process by which they announce a date when they're going to make their decision and then stick to that date?
Either a date or addressing the issue 1 month, 2 months, 3 months before the generic approval is anticipated. Oftentimes the date when a generic can be approved is known. Whether it will again happen on the date is another thing because of oftentimes these exclusivity disputes. So the agency knows that and can simply set a schedule and decide, again, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months beforehand so that these issues, if somebody wants to litigate them, can be litigated in a timely manner so that you can have these timely generic drug approvals.
Is it too much to hope that maybe less litigation could occur, which saves everybody time, including the agency?
That would be the hope, that in fact, FDA announces these decisions, they're known beforehand, and companies can consider, based on that FDA decision, whether or not they really have a legal case against the agency.
Kurt Karst is director at the law firm Hyman, Phelps & McNamara. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you very much.
You can read his paper. It's easy to follow even if you're not a lawyer. And find a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.